A wren has taken up residence in the back garden. Small as a pocket watch, it flies through a gap in the planked fence. I get the tape measure out of the cutlery drawer, hold it to the gap, 1 inch exactly. The description of the wren in my Collins Bird Guide is more poetry than prose. Tiny round brown bird with short tail often cocked, very sprightly, flight direct and whirring. Song, loud, warbling, chirruping phrases with a long, rolling trill at the end. And the weight of a wren? 9 grams. 1/3 of an ounce of muscle, feather and hollow bone. Being so small, they chill rapidly. A harsh winter can kill 4 out of every 5, but they are resilient. Wrens are resident all year round throughout Eurasia, from the Mediterranean to the Arctic Circle and from Iceland to Japan. One way they get through the long cold of winter nights is to nest in communal roosts, often a few dozen together. The record is 61 wrens found huddled close in a single nest box. Like many people, I have begun to pay a new kind of attention to my garden. Is it as friendly as it might be? To bird and bee, to grub and hedgehog? Is it, in its quiet way, a small step toward rewilding, a small shout of rebellion against extinction? The Organic Centre is 20 minutes from where I live in North Leitrim. They have been living the good life and fighting the good fight for 25 years now. And every time I go there, I make new discoveries. On my last trip, I learned that wrens won't visit bird tables or eat peanuts from feeders. They need a diet of insects and spiders. So one way to help them through the winter is to leave piles of stone and wood undisturbed. We had planned to tidy away the pile of cut branches and twigs at the edge of the garden, but we've changed our minds. That messy tangle may well explain our resident wren and also our resident hedgehog. I hadn't seen a hedgehog since I was a child, walking down the lane beside my grandmother's house. And then one night last summer, the dog stopped to investigate a spiny, curled ball. A rescue greyhound, she is only interested in the small and the quick. Cats, squirrels, rabbits. So, after a cursory sniff, she walked on, leaving the hedgehog to its solitary, slug-eating self. So much of rewilding is about letting things be. Let leaves lie where they fall. Let the grass go shaggy with clover and daisy before mowing. Leave the edge of the communal lawn uncut until late September. Like us, you might decide to put signs that say, be friendly, don't mow, around your unmowed areas, to reassure your tidy neighbours that there is method in your scruffy madness, that it's your garden and not yourself that's going to seed. It's good to let things be, but the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan makes it clear that more is needed. The biodiversity also needs an active helping hand. And so we decide to make a bee hotel. I download Creating Wild Pollinator Nesting Habitat, a how-to guide published on the website pollinators.ie. There I learn that bumblebees, butterflies and moths favour unmowed areas and uncut hedgerows, and that solitary cavity bees prefer dry stone walls and bee hotels. But most bees, up to 60%, will never check into a bee hotel, no matter how welcoming or how well it's made. These are the solitary mining bees. They need bare soil to dig their nests in a, quote, open, well-drained, south-facing, sunny location. Our back garden can get sodden in winter, so that's out. There is a shady patch of bare soil under the trees at the side of the house, but that won't work either. Bees need morning warmth to get their cool blood flowing. Solitary mining bees might be happy, the guide tells me, in a sand pit, 3 centimetres deep, filled with a mixture of sand and loam. So we have a plan. We will let most of the lawn grow shaggy. We will build a bee hotel against the sunny back fence and a sand pit for mining bees in the small south-facing front garden. And so we will all move into winter. The bee larvae cocooned in sandpit and hotel, the hedgehog hibernating in the woodpile, the wrens curled up in their communal winter roost, all waiting, maybe hoping, for a new kind of spring